Tale of a Trail, Historic Walks in Israel. Escape Room by Tamar Hayardeni. Where to? B'nai Zion Medical Center, Haifa, a historic hospital building. Sarah Rosenberg's flight from British Mandate authorities passed through hospitals and prisons all over Palestine. Who was this underground freighter? And what did she leave behind? Warning. This column concerns one of Haifa's ugliest buildings, notwithstanding its breathtaking view of the lush Carmel forest. Despite the depressing boxiness of B'nai Zion Medical Center, formerly the Rothschild Hospital, the thrilling tale that climaxed within its walls makes it worth a visit. And you can actually see where it happened, as long as you know where to look. Fields of Bethlehem. The yarn begins towards the end of 1946, less than 5 kilometres from the hospital as the crow flies, on 82 Atzmaut, Independence Street, in the Haifa Bay area. The Zionist underground's anti-British activities were at their peak, including operations initiated by both the mostly Labour Zionist Palmach and the revisionist Irgun or Etzel. When a striking Irgun agent named Sarah Rosenberg made off with a bunch of highly classified documents from the British investigative headquarters, then located at the above address. Rosenberg was en route to the revisionist Zionist headquarters in Tel Aviv when her bus was stopped by a British army jeep. Someone had informed on the shocked young lady, and she was extracted from the vehicle by two burly policemen and placed under arrest. Sarah barely concealed the incriminating evidence on her person before being dragged off to the Zichron Yaakov police station. The British were sure they had an airtight case against her, but Rosenberg stayed one step ahead. A bathroom break before the interrogation seemed perfectly reasonable, enabling her to flush away the documents. Unfortunately, the cops were prepared for such tactics, and a net had been strategically placed at the base of the toilet bowl. Soaking though they might be, the papers now clinched her guilt. Sarah's trial was short and to the point, landing her in the British Women's Prison in Bethlehem. But this fearless fighter had no intention of quietly serving out her sentence. As she later recalled, "One of the first questions I asked myself on arrival at the Bethlehem jail was, how do I get out of here? How best to escape back to my comrades in arms?" The answer was frustrating. My fellow prisoners, already familiar with the conditions, told me security had been reinforced after a recent successful escape. More of that later. With extra barbed wire stretched around the perimeter and armed guards on the roof to foil any further attempts. Helicopter heist. To make matters worse, the jail was situated in the midst of Bethlehem's hostile Arab population. Even if Rosenberg made it out of prison, how was she to avoid being lynched outside its gates? Adding to her predicament was her own volatile temperament. She'd already slapped a British officer who'd annoyed her on her arrival. As a result, she'd been transferred to the jail's maximum security section, whose prisoners were permitted to exercise only on the roof rather than in the yard. Yet Sarah saw this restriction as an advantage. She'd just read about the invention of the helicopter, and it seemed to her the perfect getaway vehicle. A few revisionist operatives merely had to hijack a British army chopper, fly it to Bethlehem, land on the prison roof, and whisk her and any other inmates they could fit in off into the sunset. For months, Rosenberg and her partners in crime secretly gathered reconnaissance information. They paced the roof to measure its length, checked the number of guards posted there at any given moment, and noted exactly when the watchman came on and off duty. Somehow, the women smuggled all their findings out to Eitan Livni, a revisionist activist who'd recently extricated himself from the British jail in Acre and was serving as the Irgun's director of operations. The plan was flawless, apart from one problem. Unbeknownst to all those planning the breakout, the British forces in Mandate Palestine had no helicopters. Eventually realising that her plan wouldn't work, Sarah sought other escape venues. After the Arab riots following the UN vote partitioning Palestine on November 29, 1947, she began protesting that holding Jewish women prisoner in the middle of an Arab population centre was too dangerous. Any minute, a violent mob could storm the prison and attack or even kill its inmates. When her requests for transfers were ignored, Rosenberg organised a sit-in. The women refused to return to their cells. In the ensuing commotion, she broke into the administrative offices and set them on fire, but not before grabbing the keys. By now, the Bethlehem prison director had had enough. The monster and all other Jewish prisoners were to be moved elsewhere at the first opportunity. Imaginary invalid. On December 28th, Bethlehem's female Jewish detainees arrived at the Atlit detention centre for illegal Jewish immigrants near Haifa. Security was a little looser at this installation, and its surrounding beaches were a refreshing change from grimy Arab Bethlehem. But Sarah was still under close observation. Aware that a regular breakout didn't stand a chance, she set to work on something more sophisticated. She'd pass herself off as deathly ill. Hospitalisation would be her ticket out. Reading up on disease symptoms, Sarah discovered that an injection of hot milk could cause fever and seizures. A Jewish medic armed with a syringe was struggled into the camp, but the effect of the injection was completely unexpected. At first, I felt nothing, but I was soon afflicted by such severe dizziness that I thought my end was near and I'd be leaving Atlit on a dead man's stretcher, she wrote later. Nonetheless, the detention camp's chief officer decided that Rosenberg's condition didn't justify the risk of transfer to a medical facility. The dizzy spells gradually subsided, but Sarah wouldn't give up. After a sleepless night, she dragged herself to the dining hall in the morning and feigned appendicitis, screaming in agony. Her histrionics did the trick, and she was immediately evacuated. An ambulance deposited Rosenberg at the Haifa Government Hospital, today the old wing of Rambam Hospital, and located in the heart of what was then an Arab neighbourhood. Security was tight, and as if that weren't enough, the imaginary invalid was rushed straight to the sixth floor for emergency surgery. With no choice, Sarah confessed her ruse and asked to return to Atlit. But the doctors dismissed her protestations as a bad case of preoperative nerves and insisted on performing the procedure. The patient demanded that she at least be operated on in a Jewish hospital. After all, who could trust a British doctor? Only a year ago, one Irgun operative had died on the table. He'd been three quarters dead on arrival, but no matter. She told the medical team in no uncertain terms that they were not to come anywhere near her. Exhausted, the staff gave up and packed her off to the Rothschild Hospital in Haifa's Hadar Carmel neighbourhood. Finally breathing easier, Rosenberg took stock. She couldn't expect help from the hospital personnel, and the guard outside her room wasn't going anywhere. But Rothschild was only one story high, and the area was Jewish. Under the very noses of the staff preparing to operate, the patient leapt off the bed and, with Olympic agility, out the window. In a twinkling, she disappeared in the crowded alleys of Jewish Haifa. The British were beside themselves, the sergeant at the door was demoted to private, and they spent days searching for the fugitive, to no avail. The bird had flown, and all that's left of Rosenberg's escape is an ugly hospital in the middle of Haifa. Hospital in hiding. Haifa's Rothschild Hospital has come a long way since Sarah Rosenberg's escape. Aside from adding new floors and wings over the years, it also gained a new name in 1988, B'nai Zion. Within the modern building, however, the historic institution's original interior remains virtually intact. Visit the hospital's outpatient clinics and see for yourself. By the by, Rosenberg's memoir records an earlier escape by a female prisoner, Geula Cohen, radio announcer for the underground Lehi movement, and later a member of Israel's parliament and a co-founder of the Tchiya political party. Cohen busted out of the Bethlehem jail, but was rearrested and placed in solitary confinement. She escaped for good only after being transferred to Jerusalem's Russian compound prison for medical attention. In 1944, new immigrant Mike Ashbel met Sarah at an Ingun gathering and was instantly smitten. Ashbel livened up the occasion with a Yiddish partisan ballad that begins, "Today, dearest Marianne, we'll meet by the cannon." Sarah asked him to translate the song into Hebrew. 2 years later, jailed in Akko and awaiting execution by the British, he finally did. The resulting adaptation, "On the Barricades," starts with, "Today, little Sarah, we'll be parted as I go out to war." Ashbel's sentence was commuted to life imprisonment, but he was killed during an Irgun-orchestrated breakout. Finally, on 7th Iyar, May 16th, 1948, 2 days after the State of Israel was declared, Sarah Rosenberg married Eitan Livni. Their wedding, the first to be celebrated in the new state, required a special permit since it was held during the 7-week semi-mourning period between Pesach and Shavuot. The couple had 3 children, including Tzipi Livni, the former Israeli foreign minister and centre-left opposition leader, who retired from politics last year.